Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
New Orleans.
Congratulations to New Orleans for winning the first pick in the 2019 NBA lottery.
Middays on the Score.
Alvin. Come on now, Alvin.
I'd be excited too.
That's the first pick. That's the good one. That's the one you wanted, not seven. Seven.
Or even second.
Seven.
Seven's
the
worse.
Bulls got seven, and that's a no good. Vince Goodwill saw it all, and he joins us now. He's on Twitter at Vince Goodwill. The Yahoo senior NBA writer is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Well, Vincent, it sounded like it actually kind of an entertaining night for the people involved with all the stuff going on. It looked like it must have been fun to be there.
It was. You're shut off from the outside world. So you don't have cell phones, you don't have computers, you don't have anything electronics. There's no clocks on the wall, there's no windows. It's kind of like you're in a casino. And you're sort of sequestered for 2 hours. So, and then on top of that, you're in a room where we were off to the left, if you guys just showed the video. We're off to the far left, sitting in chairs, and we're looking at all of these very newer, very conservative-looking fellows. And then when the numbers come up, and I'm not one of those guys that's trying to add up the numbers to see where it goes. Like, look, it's too many combinations for all that. When you tell me who it is, I'll know, right? And then you hear Alvin yell out, bleep, yeah, after raising his arms like he's Rocky after, you know, beating up Clubber Lang. And you just, like, it's amazing to watch him walk down and slap everybody's hand because he's animated and they're not.
So, Vince, you're sequestered. Phones had to go away. Apple Watches had to go away. Pagers and beepers, all that kind of stuff had to leave. Or whatever you're using these days. What would have been your first tweet if you'd been allowed to tweet during the NBA draft lottery as you were sitting there where it happened?
Holy bleep. That's what it would have been. I know everybody thinks, like, it's funny that no matter who would have come out with the winner of this, someone can say rigged, right? Like, you can come out with an explanation for every single winner and say rigged. If it's New York, you can say rigged. If it's Chicago, you can say rigged. If it was New Orleans, you can say rigged. So I was just going to say, holy bleep, because I didn't see that coming. The part for me that was more telling was the fact that so many teams moved up with these new odds, like 6% for the Lakers, 6% for the Pelicans. And so many teams moved down. The Bulls, the Knicks, mm-hmm. You know, like it, the Phoenix Suns, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, whether you can say these teams tanked or not, they'll never admit it. But now this has to put some real pause in your mind before you do it because there's no incentive for that anymore.
Do you think that Zion Williamson was as disappointed in this outcome as many people seem to be projecting him to be? I'm looking at all the memes going on Twitter now of him being disappointed that he's not going to the Knicks and some saying that he's going to, you know, pull a John Elway here and decide he doesn't want to play there. What is the actual dynamic, and were you trying to put together some clues based on his body language or his reaction?
In the moment, guys, no, because, A, here's the thing we have to factor in. He's 19 years old. And although we tend to look at all athletes in, like, a box and assume that they have adult-level maturity, he's a kid. And when you're a kid, and here's the other part of it, too. We've seen how the way the lottery odds have changed. When you're a kid and you're 19 and you're looking at, oh, 14% here, 14% there, you kind of have the right to get your hopes up about where you may possibly want to go. This is the one profession, professional sports is the one profession where being excellent at your job means you have no choice on where you actually get to work. So for him to be disappointed, excited, whatever that emotion was going to be in the moment, I think is perfectly understandable, especially when you consider the fact that there was a one-to-one chance that he would have wound up in New York or L.A. as much as he would have wound up in New Orleans or Memphis. So, yeah, I think he had the right to get his hopes up in that moment and to have whatever emotion that was there, whether it was disappointment, whether it was shock, whatever it was, you give people that space, in my opinion. You give people that space to process it, to have whatever emotion you need to do, have in the moment. I don't think he's going to try to engineer anything. He doesn't even have an agent yet. You know, like, he doesn't have an agent, he doesn't have a shoe contract, any of those other things. So I think we need to give him a little bit of space, and I think by the time the draft combine comes around, he'll have a little bit of perspective. But still, it's 24 to 48 hours after a pretty big shock in your life where you're going to spend at least probably the next 7 years of your career if you are the player that everybody believes you to be.
He's Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo's senior NBA writer here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Vinny, assuming that Zion then does go to New Orleans and we don't have like an Eli Manning situation there, how does their getting the number one pick, from your perspective, affect what they do with Anthony Davis?
Well, I think in the moment, you know, Alvin Gentry and I wrote about it in my piece, but Alvin Gentry says we're back in the game for Anthony Davis now. But I'm not sure if Anthony Davis, even though, you know, these guys are basketball fans and they understand the hype, you know, surrounding a guy like Zion, they can physically see, you know, okay, he's going to be a stud. It's hard for them to embrace believing in a rookie when you've had 7 years of evidence or 8 years of evidence of being in a topsy-turvy sort of situation that Anthony Davis has been in. So while I do think that New Orleans has renewed hope that he'll stick around and that I don't think they're going to make a trade just to trade him because they have another franchise player in Tao, I wonder about the other teams who are going to be involved, how this draft slotting has, you know, changed things. Because now they have, you know, the number four pick when they were supposed to have number 11. Yeah. And does that add to anything, you know, as far as a trade package or whatever? Or, you know, does that screw up Boston, what Boston wants to do? So I don't think it necessarily changes anything as far as Anthony Davis's wishes, but I wonder if it changes things for the teams who are coming after him. Mm.
What is the value of the number seven pick and Chris Dunn on the open market?
You want to ask me that question right now? You want me, Chicago, to hate me when I'm like on a one-day excursion here? You want people to come after me, Dan?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. Clearly, you have no care about my well-being. I appreciate that. But I don't know what that is. Here's the thing. Chris Dunn is a productive-ish point guard who can't shoot. If you have your choice between Chris Dunn and Terry Rozier, who are you taking?
Rozier, because he can hit an open shot.
Okay. And hitting an open shot, while it is the most easy thing you can develop as a player compared to a handle, compared to awareness, compared to all these other different things, the easiest thing you can get, I don't know if Chris Dunn is close enough to getting it to justify, or you know what, we're going to take this cost-controlled number seven pick with Chris Dunn and sell this to my owner or whatever. I will say, when I first heard of number seven and I first saw Memphis getting number two, I said, okay, call Memphis and try to get Mike Conley now. Because if they're taking Ja Morant, then they got their franchise point guard for the future, and they don't, not that they don't need a guy like Mike Conley, but positional duplication, the guy's making $30 million. You know, and I'm sure the Bulls haven't openly spoken about that yet. There's still a lot of probably raw feelings from the draft lottery last night. But why wouldn't the Bulls give Memphis a call and try to explore something like that?
I don't know where Mike Conley gets you closer to winning a championship.
Why does everything have to be a championship?
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. When you've been as bad as the Bulls have been bad, when you've been misdirections, restarts, coaching, hirings, firings, blaming, all other type of stuff. All right, cool. Your standard shouldn't be championship at this point. Like, you've had that, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but being not bad.
Still full.
No, I understand, but absence of bad is never my goal. If it so happens that on your way to trying to build a champion that you get decent and fun and entertaining and competitive and good, that's great, but that's not a goal. You know, if you the Bulls are stating that as a goal, that they just want to be competitive and bring in some veterans and be entertaining enough, maybe get a playoff series to pad the coffers a little bit. But to me, that is a byproduct. Being competitive is a byproduct of pursuing the absolute top of the mountain.
You're pursuing a championship, but we've gotten to this place where it's a complete zero-sum proposition. If you're not winning the championship, you're completely worthless. Or you're not competing for a championship, you're completely worthless. There were years in the Jordan years where you could say, okay, yeah, maybe we're competitive, but we're nowhere near a championship. And it didn't dull the memories of those fans. It didn't make those seasons any less fruitful. Now, granted, you had, you know, a great talent and you could see a path there.
I think
what you're talking about is a path.
Yeah, show me that it's going somewhere, that the being competitive isn't the end in and of itself. Being competitive is what I've always said, the best time to root for your team is when it's getting good, when you know that greatness is possible. That's the best time. It's even more fun sometimes than after winning the title in that refractory period. But I just have no belief that their competitiveness is going to be anything other than the goal, which doesn't make sense to me.
Then basically you're saying that you have no faith in the front office whatsoever. And I think that is the root of everything, the underlying root of everything that you're saying is that regardless of whatever move is made or isn't made or direction that they go, you don't have any faith in the front office. And I'm not saying you're right or wrong, and I'm just saying that's what it sounds like. And to me, my thing is this. I only bring up Mike Conley in the context of you don't need another 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, they've drafted reasonably well over the past couple of years. Zach LaVine is a productive player. He's still very young. Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, like, you got some young pieces. Otto Porter is still young enough. You know, what is he, 23, 24, maybe even younger than that? Where, maybe 25?
25, I think.
Well, okay, fine. You have something now. You don't need another 19-year-old to basically put yourself in a position to say, okay, we can be in the playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs, as long as you're competitive and you have enough flexibility, I think there are too many teams afraid of being good as opposed to being great, because they know it's hard from being good to being great, and they just want to add instant coffee to it. And I think some fans have actually bought into it too. Yeah, it takes a little bit more creativity and a little more smart going from being good to being great, and being great is always the goal. But don't be afraid of getting good either.
Vincent, is trading for Mike Conley on the front of your mind because at 31 years old, with 2 years and 67 left on his deal, is that at the top of your mind in any way because you don't necessarily have faith that a guy like Patrick Beverley or Darren Collison or Ricky Rubio as a free agent are all that interested in coming to play for the Bulls?
It's not a matter of, to me, it's not a matter of an interest standpoint. For me, it's a matter of you have young players. And whether you believe in Jim Boylan as a coach and as a leader of men in a franchise, I believe that this team needs someone who can play the role of leader on the floor. Mm. So when I talk about Patrick Beverley, when I think about Patrick Beverley, I think about a guy who's a culture creator because of how hard he plays.
Sure.
And he can shame you into playing hard. But when I think about being a leader on the floor who can sort of bring pieces together because he has the requisite experience and he's still good enough that people will follow him, that's when I think of a guy like Mike Conley compared to some of the other guys that you've named, because of he can still play and there's the intangibles. Not necessarily, well, this guy doesn't want to come here, this guy doesn't want to come here, and we're not going to bring Derrick Rose back, so let's go get a $30 million point guard, you know, to hold the top. That's not how I think. I just look at this roster and some of their intangible needs when you have so many young players.
Gotcha.
Vincent, great stuff. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it, guys.
That is Vincent Goodwill telling some Bulls truth.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.